Who's excited to be in church today? Hey, my name's Simon, if I haven't met you. My wife, Georgia, and I run the youth here. And we got a bunch of youthies over there. Give us a holler, youthies. Oh, that's good. I love a little holler. Welcome to church. So excited to be here. I have the privilege of bringing the word this morning. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you, give them a high five, say you're looking so good today, and you can grab your seats. Thank you, band. Awesome. Who's been loving this year's come and see theme? It's been so good. Come and see. Who's encouraged to invite their friends and family to come and see Jesus? I am. There's two people. We're all good. We're getting there. Well, we got a new theme for this month, and this month we're having a series on seeing God in us. And so I get to share what my revelations of that have been, and it's been pretty awesome. Couple of weeks trying to prepare for this, and so I want you to write this down. People see God in us when He is overflowing out of us. That's the kind of core of what I want to talk about today. People will see God in us when He is overflowing out of us. It's not a thing where we just get God and He just sits there, but He actually has called us to have an overflowing well of His Spirit coming out of us. And so when we give our life to Christ, there's a lot of people in this room that have done that before, but you might be here this morning, you've never given your life to Him. The Bible says that we become a new creation. What does that mean? It means that all of what we were in the past has gone and we get given a new life through Christ, which is interesting to wrap your mind around, but he wipes the slate clean from all of our sins, all of our iniquities, everything that we've done from the past, and He gives us a new life. And this is awesome. And so this morning, the title of my message is The Extreme Makeover. All right, has anyone seen Extreme Home Makeovers or Extreme Makeovers, the TV shows? They're good fun. And so I just want us to watch a clip from The Extreme Home Makeover, you know, when the one was like, move the bus, and then the family gets... So let's watch this clip and we'll get into it. So as you can see, I chose that program because the extreme makeover of your body is just makeup going on your face, covering over your ugly bits. But this one is about a complete transformation, right? So when we give our life to Christ, the old has gone, the old moldy house has gone, and a new creation has begun. And it's so exciting. I've been reading a great book, which I highly recommend, called The Soul Detox, by Craig Rochelle, who's an incredible pastor from the United States. The YouVersion app we use in our church is creation from his church, and they give it out freely. They're an awesome church, and he's an inspiring speaker, has a great leadership podcast. But this book is all about your soul detox, cleaning out the insides, making sure that we're pure and holy in the inside, which has been a great source for this message. But he starts with this. He says, so is God in us? So for people to be able to see God in us, let's just explore, is God actually in us? And he says this, we are not a body with a soul, we are a soul with a body. When you write that down, we are not a body with a soul, but we're actually a soul with a body. God designed us to be a soul with a body. It says in Genesis 2 verse 7, so the first book of the Bible, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So today's core message that really spoke to me as I was thinking about seeing God in us and how do people see God in us and how do people come and see God in us is from Galatians 2:20. So I want you to turn to that this morning. It's in the New Testament, about halfway through or a bit beyond. And a great verse. This is written by the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to the church of Galatia, and he says this, I've been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. He's still alive, right? Those are interesting thing to say, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to say, I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. So Paul was scolding a guy called Cephas who was trying to get people to conform back to the law of the Jewish way. They had a law that was the way of living a life for God. But Jesus came and he created a new covenant. He created a new law. And Paul was saying, you know what, you no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's what he did for us. And so if we continue to live by the Jewish law, then there was no point Jesus coming at all. And so the old has gone and the new has come. And so as I picture this, when Christ died on the cross for us, if God is in us, then his holiness and his purity is in us. When you think of what's pure, if you go boil it down to the things like love and patience and kindness and goodness, these things, the source of those things is God. There is no other source for that. If you come from any other space in the world, like the source of wherever anyone else, I don't care what you say, the truth is the source of that is God. He is holy and pure. And so I just want to go on a little journey about God's holiness and his power and how it came to be that we actually have it in us, because it didn't begin like this. God's power wasn't in humans to begin with. So if we look back in the Old Testament at Moses, an incredibly influential character in the Bible, he led the Israelites out of Egypt, 1 million people. He took them out of slavery by the call of God. But when God called him, anyone heard of the burning bush? Give me a nod. Yeah, full nod. Yeah, we've seen, heard of the burning bush. And so when Moses, God lit a bush on fire to speak to Moses, and this is what he says in Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible. Exodus 3, verse 4 to 5. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. So he's speaking from this bush of fire. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." So back in the time, I like to think of God's power like the sun. If you think of the sun, it's this big, incredible source of life. It brings life to us here on earth. Earth is positioned in the perfect place so that it doesn't burn us, and it's not. It gives us the right amount of life, the right amount of energy. But if you get too close to the sun, then you die. You'll burn up and die. That's the truth, right? Does anyone here not believe that? We haven't got any Earth is flat believers here. No, we're good. If you are, I respect your opinion, but I think there's more truth to be found. And amen. But so we get closer to the sun, and we would die. That's like God's power. So in the holy times, once some things happened and God brought his presence on earth and they put his power into the temple, the priests had to come to the holy place pure. If you didn't come pure, then the power of God would kill you. Now, if God is in us today, this obviously isn't what it's about today, right? Because how could God's power be in us? We'd be dead. And so they would have to come pure to him. And then I did a bit of reading and some commentary and started to read, how did it transition before Jesus into this place? So we're going to look at the book of Isaiah, because at the moment, the scene is, if you're impure, if you've touched an impure thing and it infects you, and you have to become pure before you can present yourself to God's power. But Isaiah had a vision, and he had a vision that he was in the presence of God. But then an agent of God's came to him and sealed his lips with coal that was from the holy place. And this is the first place in the Bible where the power of God actually transforms an impure person to become pure. Right? And so let's just read here in Isaiah 6, verse 6 to 7. It says, Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal. If you've never heard of a seraphim, they're pretty cool things to think about. They've got wings on the head and wings on the legs that cover, and then they've got wings that actually fly. And awesome. I don't know what that looks like, but you know, Google it and you see lots of people's impressions of where that is. I can't wait to see a seraphim one day. So he flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. So this is a holy coal. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." So that one of the first instances of someone coming to God, impure, but God's power transforming them. Then we read in Ezekiel, a bit later on in the book, here's another vision. And this vision is of water flowing from the temple, so from the holy place, flowing out to the Dead Sea, but everything it touches comes to life. Everything it touches is a new creation. The fish are great. Let's read it, because the text will do better than my thing. This river flows east through the desert. Sorry, this is Ezekiel 47, verse 8 to 10. This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. Everyone say pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea. And so this is living water. Anyone recognize that term of living water in this place? Phil preached about the woman at the well a couple of months ago, right? And we heard it again from Nicola Gibb last weekend. And in that, Jesus talks about, all you who come to me who are thirsty, I'll give you living water. This is stemming from these precursors from the Old Testament. So we cut to 100 years, hundreds of years later, and Jesus actually says to the woman who's at the well, she's talking with Jesus, we've heard this preached, and it's in John 4 if you haven't heard it before and you can read it later. It says, Jesus says to this woman, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. This is where Jesus starts to talk about that living water that's flowing from the kingdom that starts to make everything pure. And so Jesus was the gap. Jesus bridged the gap. Jesus gave his life for us and died on the cross so that we have access to this holiness, this power, this purity, and now God resides inside of us. This is the miracle today. It says here in John 7, 38 to 39, anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who will be given to everyone believing in him, which we now have today. So seeing God in us is seeing rivers of living water flowing out of us. The way you get access to the living water is by believing in him. Babe, can you come set this up for me? So let's just recap. We're in this space where in the Old Testament, if you weren't pure, if you touched something impure, you had to become pure before you came to the presence of God. But then Jesus came and it says he gave us new life. New life. And now rivers of living water can flow through us because Jesus lives inside of us, which is an incredible miracle. I have a demonstration I did at summer camp. Apologies, youthies have seen this, but you'll get something awesome out of it again. But I thought it was such a cool demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the living water that comes. So everyone just welcome my assistant here. After this, we'll put her in a magic box and I'll cut her in half. That'll be pretty cool. yeah, come on, woo! So it says in John 14, verse 7, but you know him, the Holy Spirit, for he lives with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is in us. So here we go. So this is a cup. This is you. This represents us before we've given our life to Christ. We're empty, we don't have that living water. And then it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his hearts will flow rivers of living water. So you have a moment where you begin to believe. Now that moment when you ask Jesus into your life, you have to invite him in. I remember when I started dating Georgia, I didn't just rock up to her house and just waltz in. Like these days, I'll waltz in to her parents' house and I'll go to the fridge, I'll get myself a can of Coke, I'll sit down, I'll put on Netflix, probably won't even say hi to anyone because I'm a rude bugger. I'll give my mother-in-law a kiss on the cheek and say hi. But when I first went, first off, didn't know where the front door was because they live on a farm and, you know, it's like farmhouses don't really have clear front doors. So I don't want to walk through the laundry or in the toilet. I don't know. Anyway, but I had to be invited in from Georgia. If I wasn't invited in and this strange 18-year-old dude rocked up to her parents' house and just let himself into the fridge, they'd be like, what are you doing here? So Jesus will never knock down the door. Jesus will never force his way in. He needs to be invited in to your heart. But when that happens, then we get filled up, as it says here, if we believe, then we get filled up with living water. So this is pure, the purity of Christ. Living water, the things that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it says here in Galatians 5, 22 to 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So these are the things that we're being filled with, living water. So when you do that, you might have done that before if you're here this morning, or I'm going to give you a chance to do that later on this service. When you've done that, it might be at a church service, it could be in a connect group, could be just hanging out with someone, but you get this living water and you're filled and it's pure and it looks good, right? Delish. Lovely. Okay. I'm not going to do that later because you'll find out. So, but then we go back into life and life hasn't actually changed. You still got your work, you still got your friends, it's the same life, but you've got this new living water flowing in you. And so things start to happen, like I've got some vinegar here. Self-righteousness starts to kick in, right? It looks the same on the outside, but it's pretty gross on the inside. This funny story around vinegar at youth last year. Young Isaac Seymour decided it would be funny to fill up 3 litres. We have these water jugs out that look like this one, of water, and he decided to get 3 litres of vinegar and fill that up and then find out how young people reacted to that. Now, it wasn't endorsed by leadership. We didn't know it was happening. I just saw lots of snickering, and then I saw lots of kids going, ugh, and I was like, jeepers, Adelaide tap water's not that bad. And then I found out it was pure vinegar. Anyway, so you put that in. It looks normal. It looks like water from the outside, but it's actually disgusting. If I asked someone to come up and start drinking this now, they would be more reluctant to than when it was the fresh water, right? Am I right? So you might have a problem with anger. And so things just get up your skin. You get a bit ticked off. And so you just get red hot with anger, right? And, you know, whatever it is that might, it might be politics, it might be a person at your workplace, but the anger overtakes you. Now, anger is not bad if it's directed in the right direction, but anger is bad if it leads you to sin. And so we got to point our anger in the right direction. If you're angry because the devil is attacking someone and you want to just power on and pray, that's the right kind of directed anger. But anger at a circumstance that leads you to offense, that leads you to self-righteousness, that leads you to anger again and again and again and builds up, that is not good. So you're starting to get more like the Murray River water here, right? So then, you know, you might be green with envy. You got a bit of, you know, envious of other people. You know, someone's got a better house, someone's got a better car, their job's better, they earn more money, they're envious of the things they have. This is a common problem, right? We can just look and see other people's success, and often we're confused about whether their success is real or not, but we're like, how do they do it? How do they manage that? The person that damages is us. It starts to fill us with more. I'm going to invite someone to come up and drink this soon. No, I'm not. Isaac. Oh, I just put this down. You might be salty at people. You might be carrying offense, right? So I got soy sauce here. Like, too much soy sauce is not good. I remember when I first ate sushi, George was like, you got to put this much soy sauce on there. And it's just literally drowned in it. And I was like, I can't taste anything besides soy sauce. But you might be salty at people. You know, you might let things get in your life that you're offended. People are saying things and you just get ticked off. You're salty about things. It just turned off by them. And then you might let addictions in your life, which I got Coca-Cola here because I've been addicted to this before, sweet nectar. and, you know, it controls your life. You might be drinking 10 cans of Coke a day. It might be pornography. It might be your language. It might be things you watch or people you see. You might be addicted to drugs or alcohol. These things come in your life. And then suddenly, what was once pure, living water, starts to be murky. I'm not going to taste this now because it's disgusting. But here's the miracle. This is what's great about the presence of God. He says that river of living water is available to anyone who believes, right? And so if we start opening ourselves up to be filled with that living water, then he fills us to overflow. He keeps filling us. He keeps filling us. And then all of a sudden, those things that darkened our life are no longer there because we're pure again, right? It's more like Adelaide water now. The soy sauce is sticks, you know, you just got to get a little. So God is in us still in this situation. When you were dark and there's things inside you, God's still in us. But what we're doing is we're covering Jesus with our sin. We're covering his living water with the things we're doing. These are choices we make. These aren't things that just are circumstantial, but we actually are making choices believe it or not, if you feel controlled by them, then yes, you might have gone beyond your control and you need help and you need Jesus and you need people to support you. But the things we're doing cover us up. So what we need to be continuing to do is that get that living water come in our lives. Because, you know, you read the word, you pray, the next day you get filled with the presence of God, you come to church, you go to youth, whatever, but you still got that addiction that's going and you get insulted at someone because he called you fat or whatever, and it's like, you know, that's going again. But you decide, I'm going to get that river of living water back in my life. And so eventually, the choices you make start to outweigh what's going in. And so you've got the good stuff coming in, the bad stuff coming in, but you get more of the good stuff. It says in here, I love this verse in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. And I like to think of our church, we don't really have many rules here. It's like, you have to live this way, you can't do this, you can't do that. The choice becomes, do you want to be pure or do you not? And you choose the actions and the things you're partaking, the things you let in your life, whether or not you want to look clean or you want to look dirty from the outside. See, I lived a life where I was dirty. As a teenager, I was going out, I was drinking, I was making bad decisions, I had terrible language, but people knew I was a Christian. I was walking around and people seeing God in me, they thought it looked like this dirty thing. Dirty thing with no discipline, this dirty thing that just did whatever he wanted. And the grace of God says that his living water is still in me, but it's dirty and murky. And I remember making a decision one night at prayer meeting saying, you know what, I'm feeling filthy. I feel dirty. I know I'm doing the wrong thing. I know I'm making the wrong decisions. So Christ, I want you to fill me with that living water. And I went on a journey to be pouring more of the living water in than the CRAP that was going in me. Do you know that our spirit thirsts? Our spirit is actually thirsting. And so we can either listen to Jesus say, come to me and drink the living water, or we can drink the other things in the world. What are the things that our spirit thirsts? Shane shared a great message about selfish ambition on Wednesday night, and that was good fun. You know what? Our spirit thirsts acceptance, but that can be toxic. We'll hang around with the wrong people and make choices that steer us in the wrong place, that feed our selfish ambition rather than what God's called us to be and the goodness of God. You know that our spirit craves significance. So we make choices. Maybe we compromise our integrity to get significance, for people to look at us a certain way. You know what? The most important way for people to look at us is with this pure spirit, the holy power of God. You know, sometimes our spirit thirsts to escape. And so we do things that escape, whether into drugs or alcohol, things that make us escape. Maybe we watch TV shows or movies that take us out of this world. But when you really think about the content of what you're watching, is that feeding your soul good stuff? Or are you throwing in some of that dirty water? Are you throwing in some of those dirty substances? Like, sometimes I get angry at TV shows, so that's not good anger. It's filling me in a bad place. It's not filling me with living water. I had to make a conscious decision as a filmmaker to stop watching content that corrupted my spirit. And I could say, oh, it's for research, blah, 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 but the end of the day, I'm responsible for the spirit, my spirit. And God's power wants to dwell in here, and it does, and I want to keep it pure for him. So this is what seeing God in us will look like for people if we continue to fill ourselves up with living water. George, you want to come up here? And I'll show you what's going to happen if we continue to fill our lives with living water rather than just filling out. So here's our friend, right? And they got some addictions and things. You just chuck a couple of those little dark ones in there. Yep. But as we flow with living water, it says that the living water will overflow. And so then, as we overflow, we fill up our person with living water that's around us. And then as we keep filling, look how pure I become, and our friends around us get covered by the living water that comes from Jesus Christ. It starts with us. Thank you. It starts with us. It's our responsibility to bring that living water. This morning, you might not have that source yet. It's a tap you turn on, and it's a tap that's like that lady on Extreme Makeover. that just makes you want to jump out of your skin. This morning, are you ready for your extreme makeover? You might have been in church before and you need this makeover. You actually haven't got the deal of, you know what, my body is a temple and what I let in is my responsibility. God dwells in me. He wants to live in me, and he does when I've asked him in my life. I want to no longer cover him with things that are dirty and murky, but I want to represent Christ, be salt and light to the earth. So can I get everyone to close their eyes this morning? Because it all comes down to that invitation. The message about seeing God in us is not relevant until God is in us. And so there's two people, types of people here I'm speaking to right now. Maybe you've never invited Jesus in your life. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And together we'll pray a prayer that asks Jesus in our lives. This is the beginning. This is the invitation. A prayer is so simple. It's literally us just talking out loud, asking God to come in our lives. It's us saying, we believe in you, Jesus. We believe that you died for me and that you are the Son of God. So that might be you this morning. You've never done it before. And you've never asked Jesus in your life. And I want to encourage you right now. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about what you've done. Don't matter. You don't have to come to him pure, remember? Jesus bridged that gap so we can come to him however we are. And he's ready to fill us with living water. You might be here this morning and you've just got so dark and murky from all the things that you've let in your life over you just turned off that tap of living water. And this morning you need to turn it back on again. You turn that off when you fall out of belief or you fall out of Jesus being your Lord. So this morning, you know, you might just be so dark with the things you've done and you need to come back to Jesus and say, hey, what? You know what? You are my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to have that river of living water flow out from me daily. You know, it's a daily decision to keep that living water flowing because things get thrown at us. We need to wake up and spend time with Jesus, talk to him throughout the day, read his word, and get that river flowing. So if that's you this morning, if you've never given your life to Christ or you have, but you know what, you just become that dirty water like I was as a teenager, you're not showing God in you at all. In fact, he's so hidden that you've turned the source of that living water off. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray together in a moment. Here we go. One, you've never done it before. Two, you have, but you need to come back to Jesus this morning. Three, why don't you lift your hand? Show me your hand. Awesome, I see that hand. Awesome, I see that hand. Awesome. Come on, yep, I see that one. Thank you, sir. Anybody else need to do that this morning? Just be bold. Here is a moment to come to him. He so wants you. He so loves you. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Anybody else need to do that this morning? Just raise your hand boldly. Anybody else going to come? Yeah, awesome. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. A couple more seconds. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic. All right, with our eyes closed, I just want us to stand up. Oh, you can open your eyes while you stand so you don't fall over. We had a bunch of people put their hands up, being bold, accepting that call this morning. And I firmly believe that when you do that, we actually need to acknowledge that in front of people as well. And God to say, you know, I'm not going to hide this. I want that living water so people can see God in me. And so I'm going to encourage you to come up the front here and I'm going to pray this prayer together. And we don't want to embarrass you at all. I just want to meet you. I want to pray with you. So if that was you, why don't we just put our hands together and invite the guys to put their hands up to come out the front. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, if you don't want to come out, that's totally cool. That's totally cool. What I'm going to do is we're going to pray together. What I will encourage you to do, because you've made this step, I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I do want you to come speak to me afterwards. Okay, this is one of the best steps you've made in your life. And I don't want you to miss the opportunity to go on from here. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And then after that, the journey begins with Christ. It's not just today, but that river of living water will be turned on. So let's repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. Today I come to you and ask for your forgiveness for the things I've done, the sins I've made. Today I declare that I believe in you, that you are the Son of God, that you died and rose again. And now I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you, Jesus, to pour out rivers of living water in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, why don't we put our hands together? So good. Just want to reiterate, those guys that put their hands up, I'm so proud of you. And that's one of the best decisions you can make. Come and chat to me after. Love to pray with you. Just lastly, with every eye closed, I just want to give us a moment. If you're in a space where it's not a question of salvation, but you know there is something that you're letting in your life that's just dirtying the water. I think we've all got something that just traps us a little bit. If I'm honest, I've just journeyed through life and it's been different things in different parts of my life, but things that have just trapped me. Things that just dirty my water, and I feel like I'm constantly, you know, like that verse, the flesh desires the fleshly things and the spirit desires the spirit things, and you're just letting the flesh desire a few things too much. I just want to think for a moment what that could be, if there is something in your life, because I just want to encourage you, we're just going to give that to God this morning. So if you've thought of something right now, I just want you to, every eye closed, it's not for me to look at, I just want you to lift your hand to Jesus and say, I'm giving this to you this morning. Just kind of lift it up to him and say, I'm giving this to you, Jesus. I'm actually letting that living water, giving it room to flow. That's it. He sees your hands right now. Father, I thank you for every hand lifted in this place. God, that we all have things that can just overtake us in life, but we want to be filled with the rivers of living water. Lord, we want to let go of those things that trap us. Lord, we want to carry on with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you live in us and that people will see you in us, clean and pure and holy. And as we battle these things, we don't do it alone, but we do it in the strength of Jesus Christ. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ that has all power over all principalities, has all the authority in this world, that created the heavens and the earth. So I pray for every hand lifted, and I thank you, Jesus, that today we have another level of living water flowing in us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Fantastic. Why don't we give God a hand? Awesome. So good. Why don't you have a great day? Meet someone you haven't met. Get that overflow flowing out of you and have a great week.